Good evening and welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces. And good evening, darlings. Yes, we are live here at KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 90.7 FM in San Diego. San Diego is back in our footprint. We get to talk to those in the military, big military town down there, and letting them know that another voice, another set of ideas is there for you to take into your consideration. And 98.7 FM up there in beautiful Santa Barbara. Hello, darlings. On tonight's show, we are joined by Bob, yes, post-election analysis from the meme-type surgeon of the mediascape on the Obama election and on, of course, what this means in the historical concept of hurling up again the retrievals of previous environments and showcasing, let's say, environments that no longer exist but yet are retrievals, but yet they seem so real. And is that the question we have here? Is Obama real? Is he the real deal? Boy, was everybody so elated on election night. It was infectious. It was so wonderful to see put into the mediascape a part of humanity that had been missing under the little man from Texas that had little ideas that just exploded upon the meanscape of this world. Very regressive stuff, and here it is now. And so we're going to be speaking with Bob Dobbs. His website is www.fivebody.com. We're going to start out talking, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for us to have a discussion about the media, about its environments, about the four bodies, and possibly the emergence of the mystery body. You know how we do it here. It gets kind of wild and wacky, but then again, you wouldn't be any other place at 2 in the morning, would you? No, you would be right here for what we do in the late night, because something's happening with Roy of Hollywood. My name's Eben, and this is Radio Alchemy. All right, darlings, we're going to be with Bob momentarily, but after some alchemical news highlights.
Coming up, alchemical news highlights.
All right, darlings, I know that a lot of you are very excited to hear that Dick Cheney and Alberto Gonzalez have been brought up on charges accusing them of responsibility for prisoner abuse in a South Texas federal detention center. The presiding judge, Manuel Banales, said Wednesday that he will allow them to waive their arraignment rights and just have their attorneys present rather than appear in person. He would he possibly could issue summons down the road, but it is the fact that he is going forth with this, the first indictments against this administration. Fortunately, because Dick Cheney thought that he can hide and torture prisoners within the confines of a state, and that somebody wasn't going to have the cojones to come after him. Well, it happens to be true. Judge Manuel Banales needs your support. Definitely need your letters. We will try and find out exactly where he is and give you that kind of information so that you know how to make sure that he is on the right track and that America wants an accounting for the destruction of the Constitution and the war against America. That's all what this is about, is a war against America, and we have to understand that we have to absolutely fight for everything. Now, Obama's big tent, who he is bringing into his administrative staff, you are seeing his cabinet staff, is just a regurgitation of the old Clinton model. It's very interesting to see Eric Holder, who is going to be the first African-American attorney general, coming in. He's going to be touted as that, the first African-American attorney general, who happened to be one of the top aides of Janet Reno during Waco, during the Oklahoma City bombing. the introduction of first anti-terrorism law. He was also partners or looked the other way and had no comment and kind of agreed with the pardoning of Mark Rich, the tax evading his wife had contributed a great amount to Clinton's library, and so they pardoned him instead of Leonard Peltier before he left office. He is a partner at Covington and Burlington, which is a law firm in D.C. Some of their clients are the National Football League, Chiquita Brands, and Merck. That is going to be our attorney general. Some good news, and Roy said that he's against the unitary president, which is fine. We just have to wait and see if Obama is actually going to do anything to dismantle all of the vestiges of the unitary president. That's really going to be the cause to, for us to feel that he is not going to, for one, abuse all of the powers that he has. One great thing is that Mark Begich, the brother of Nick Begich, the man from Earth Pulse who talked about HARP and all mind control technologies, his brother, Mark Begich, beat out Ted Stevens, the guy that was brought up on seven charges, was found guilty on seven felony counts of corruption. He lost his seat, and now Mark Begich, out and out, won that seat in Alaska. So this means that now the Democrats are two seats away from having a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. The last two are the races in Minnesota between Al Franken and Norm Coleman, and the race in Georgia between Jim Martin and Saxby Chambliss. Clinton went out and stooped for Jim Martin, but a lot of Georgia types who I think voted McCain are going to try and block having this kind of majority. There is more news at hand, but I just want to tell you this one story before we get to Bob, because time is flying and I know there's so much stuff out there. This is very interesting. This is out of Britain. The complete list of Britain's nationalistic, xenophobic BNP party was made public on the internet, and now police in Britain are scouring the list to purge members from their jobs if there is a conflict between their membership and their positions. It's very interesting that the police and prison workers are not allowed to join this party, and that's because it would flame racial tensions, because I guess this BNP party is very much xenophobic. What they found, though, on the list was around one police officer and four prison workers were on the list, and so they most likely will be fired. But for the Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Defense has no such policy for their members being a part of an ultranationalist party in Britain. So on the list were two dozen active military and hundreds of former military staff on their rolls. And another interesting fact was this guy named Rod Lucas, who was with talk radio host there in the UK. He is being fired because he is also on that list of the BNP party members. But he says, no, I am there as an undercover journalist, and that I'm a member of 20 different organizations as such. And to me, he just sounds like a spook. I mean, that's a spy right there. And he's just trying to cover, as he's a, you know, he's an undercover journalist. I think that's very interesting. And so he's been fired for that. But what this says to me basically is, here you have a nationalist party, tons of military in there. There is nothing against them and bringing their skills, et cetera, to this kind of a party. And so if there is any kind of work there, or any kind of, if they win seats in the parliament, if there's any kind of agitation or anything like that, these are the kind of people that will be within the political structure that would make it possible for them to agitate, for them to do this particular kind of work. Some of the comments about this story, this is in the comments on the story of them letting these BNP parties be made. One person said, this is great news. Finally, the same people who took so much pleasure in posting the details of anti-Nazi protesters and their pictures, including family members, are getting a taste of their own medicine. And the next one says, I fully endorse a party which seems to believe that we look after our families and fellow British people first. What is wrong with that? My family has long, deep ancestral roots in this great country, in this once great country. Wars fought, taxes paid, and now non-English speaking women and five children waiting at the doors. And so, once again, that is hearkening to the status of how the control features, all the governments abuse their citizens. Their citizens move for a better life and end up agitating everybody who is looking for the crust of the pie of this world, fighting over the crust. So those kind of individuals that come out and say that against the foreigners and new immigrants to their country, of course, are reacting to the manipulations of the financial governing class who is far above these kind of on-the-ground happenings. And so very interesting stuff. A lot of things are mirroring each other around the world. And finally, Ayman al-Zawahiri came out with a new tape. And he calls Obama a house Negro. This punk, this little jerk, has the gall. Where did he learn that? Did he go to, some kind of online dictionary to know what to call? And if he knows the history of the United States, this is what he chooses to pull from. This is what he supposedly had to say to Obama. You represent the direct opposite of honorable black Americans like Malik al-Shabazz or Malcolm X. And you were born to a Muslim father, but you choose to stand in the ranks of the enemies of Muslims and pray the prayer of the Jews, although you claim to be Christian in order to climb the rungs of leadership in America. He says that Obama, Colin Powell, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice confirmed Malcolm X's definition of a house Negro, a term the militant black leader used to describe black leaders who are subservient to white interest. And so he used the way that he said it, basically, is that, yeah, he's a house slave or a house Negro. Yeah, that's helpful, you know. That just really ticks me off. It's like if you have, for one, he has absolutely, he stands on no ground when you look at the validity of his worldview. And the havoc and bloodshed in the name of God. It is so barbaric. And that if they're going to use the Palestinian cause as a way to say and talk about the West, well, they haven't done anything for Palestinians. It is really an amazing, amazing time to be alive and to see these machinations. So definitely go on the internet and try and find his complete speech. We'll try and find that too. But let's get to where we are right now. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. On the lines, Bob Dobbs. We were just taking a survey of some of the things that are out there in the news. It seems like people are regressing really back into looking out for number one, very much essentialist, very much identity politics, very much nationalistic fervor. And it seems like it could possibly only get worse. But yet there is this beacon that everybody celebrated on November 4th with the election of Barack Obama. And I want to invite onto the lines Bob Dobbs, who joins us from a beautiful location, an amazing location of a beautiful island out in the Pacific. And it's so great to have you on here, KPFK, after this very perplexing but joyous election, even if it was just for a mirage. Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Hey, Eben. I'm glad to be back on your show.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know what? It is like clockwork. There's always a time. It's like, okay, got to get Bob. Let's see what the Android meme is saying. As you are so, you're the only person that really knows how to read that at that scale. I mean, you brought it. You probably named it. And so what I want to start out by asking you is that we did see a lot of elation on November 4th. And the problem is that we just don't know what we were supporting in that. And I called it a mirage because what exactly or who exactly is Obama, and does he know what he's gotten himself into? What did you see basically in his run? I mean, he ran up the ranks so quickly. He was only in for his second term, 4 years in the Senate, makes a speech in 2004, 2006, and all of a sudden he's president. What do you make of that?
Well, are we going to play the interview we did?
Oh, you want? Yes, yes, of course. I just wanted to ask you that, right? But
no,
yeah, we can do that.
I don't want to say about that, but I'd like to give the context, which is what was happening before the election in September and October, and that would give me something to bounce off. So if you play that 15 or 20 minutes, then we go into the change indicated by November 4th.
Very good.
What is it we change from if your CD is working? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. All of that is good. Okay, so this is a previous conversation that Bob and I have, a previous interview we did, and this is just to get us back up to speed on the media environment and the presidential elections. And so, you know, we're just going to pop right into this interview, and so stay tuned, darlings. Here we go.
Okay. First off, I just want to say that I made a lot of money the last few days.
Okay.
Incredible amount of money. I mean, I'm up there. I've probably passed Warren Buffett. And I want to say that my group is going to do something different with it. And we're going to bring in a breakthrough situation. We're going to bring in, of course, cold fusion. And that's going to be revolutionary for humanity. So on the horizon is a lot of good news for all of us.
Well, now this is interesting because they said that short sellers couldn't be in the market. Were you short selling? I mean, were you getting it on the down, or were you a part of the selling off of this? I mean, how do you make money in such a volatile area?
Well, I was in the right place at the right time, and it was my turn. You know, I've been part of the Secret Council 10 for a long time, and I've knocked off the previous people that temporarily were the richest, and so it was my time. So it's not based exactly on what's happening the last few weeks. It's based on something over the last 2 years. But with the crash, that was a great cover to transfer the money to me because, you know, you can't move big amounts of money around anymore. You're accused of terrorism or funding terrorists.
Right, right.
So you have to use big public distractions to do stuff.
And are there other people doing the same thing then?
They did, yes. There was a lot done when President Gerald Ford died. What was that, late 2006? That was when this whole crisis really got going.
How interesting. Why would that be a marker?
Because, well, there's so much media attention, and all the media's running around dealing with his funeral for a few days. They don't look so closely at things that are normally transparent. I mean, there's transparency everywhere, so it's hard to do things without somebody noticing it. So you got to use the big media distractions to accomplish slight hidden moves. You know, I mean, you take a window of opportunity.
Now, in some previous statements that you've made, you have talked about some of the four pillars represented by Paulson, Bernanke, George Bush, and Christopher Cox, as being a part of tentacles of old world institutions that possibly harken back to what the TV body and the radio television body at this time, and that this is the either the failure of these or the story or just the mechanisms that they naturally were set up to go through. Could you talk about how those four individuals represent these institutions?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we did a show with you, David Worster, and I in July 24th this year. And we talked about Rai and the political meaning of the collapse of Rai over 40 years ago.
Yes.
Rai being on the metaphysical deep level, the first separateness.
Yes.
And it's that profound for humanity that has gone. And we're seeing it being expressed politically. So what I had laid out on other shows was that you have the 19th century, 18th century accumulated wealth. We might call it the oligarchy. And that oligarchy has has been sitting on the sidelines for most of the 20th century, but the huge amount of money they had was subject to the abundance, inflation, whatever you want to call it, that's happened to the common man in the 20th century. Their proceeds and profits and bank accounts grew also. So they get up into the trillions, all right? But the money is too big to be involved in the normal economy, the M1, M2, M3 money supply. It disrupts the measurement of what people think they live in their normal accounting procedures. So that historical wealth was brought back in, started to involve itself in the economy behind Prince Charles in the early 80s after the Rockefellers had collapsed in the late 70s. So that is represented by President Bush. His family is involved with oligarchic people going back to his grandfather, and so that's one pillar. Next pillar is the period from 1900 to 1918 when the Federal Reserve was created, because as the electric environment came in and started to move money into the discarnate state, the electrified condition, which nobody could own, buy, or sell. So when you had telephones and radio, once you had that, you had all kinds of experience and information that didn't cost you anything, not like buying a new car. So money started to move into becoming public property, and the first move of that was the Federal Reserve, which brought in income tax, which was like taking your private money and distributing it throughout the country, supposedly. Yet it was based on private ownership. Federal Reserve is not a government institution, and that private ownership maintains the private identity that Western culture is built on through the printing press, all right?
Yes.
So the Federal Reserve was the first attempt by the wealthy of that time to, not the oligarchic wealthy, the industrial wealthy, to organize the cultural heritage of literacy in relation to the new electronic software economy. The next phase, 1918-1945, brings in the New Deal, where the private ownership of money was not a fact anymore, and the people owned the money, and that's what we call the welfare state. So the second phase, Federal Reserve, is represented, of course, by Ben Bernanke. The third phase, the welfare state, is represented by Christopher Cox, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, because its role is to make sure everybody gets a fair deal, right?
Right, right.
It represents the community, or the communities of the United States and its citizens. And then from 1945 to 1960, of the beginning of the globalized economy. And that's represented by Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, because the Treasury, over time, was not limited to what was brought in from the citizens through taxation. It started to be sold off, so to speak, or other countries, as they became part of the globalized economy, they started to put a lot of money in the U.S. Treasury, to the point that the Saudis basically owned this treasury in the mid-70s, and that's why they took over the CIA. So you have this globalization digital landscape represented by the Treasury. So these four factors stood there on September 19th and had a press conference saying, we have the solution. And they did it from the White House, because the White House is the real power in terms of it being the word that makes the market. The whole world is based on what the White House says, okay?
Right.
So the four historical figures stood there on September 19th and tried to create order out of a perceived chaotic situation. And they were the four historical posts: the oligarchy represented by Bush, the Federal Reserve represented by Bernanke, the local police and organizing of civil order, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and then the globalized digital economy, Henry Paulson. Now, these four functions are trying to establish a stability in this new situation, which I call a post-information society, where you can't tell what's going on, who owns what, or what, which way is it going down, up, down. The whole meaning of that has disappeared. So the original authority and awe of Wall Street as a measure of wealth has disappeared, and that's a big factor of Rye returning to plane of essence. So what you have people trying to interpret, what is the reason for the collapse? So some think it's managed by the, quote, Illuminati, that they want to take over, consolidate the banking into less firms in the United States, and then use that to end up, say, running the whole global economy with 10 banks. So supposedly, like thousands of banks will go down in this, local banks will go down in this chaos, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's one way to see that the Illuminati wants to have a final centralization of this global village or global theater.
Yes.
Okay, so that's one way to. The other thing is the Federal Reserve is attempting to adjust money to the digital sharing so that it represents the Vatican, to the point that people believe that the Vatican, as an ancient power structure, controls the iconography on the TV landscape. And therefore, they want to centralize that on a global level as religions start to fight each other. So through the Federal Reserve, the Vatican is trying to establish its power. And that is the since the Federal Reserve was formed in response to the electronic and radio environment and provided an image of private ownership, the Christian faith is built on the private identity, the private soul that came in with the manuscript and then the phonetic alphabet and then the printing press. So the TV landscape must be centralized around the Vatican. Okay, so that's the another centralized move.
Yes.
It's not what the Illuminati wants to do. All right, the third thing is the local representation of community scale, human justice, and human fairness, represented by Cox, is the idea that maybe in the collapse of this global economy as it is now, we have many local currencies and have a decentralization. So the Freemasons have been the advocates of decentralization coming out of England, and also the support of local community because it was out of Britain that slavery was abolished, the social justice and a kind of moving kids out of working in the mines, giving better conditions for prisoners, all that what was called Fabian socialism move of the late 1800s into the 20th century was the move of the Freemasons, okay? They wanted to get rid of the feudal effect of the Vatican. Okay, so that's the representation figurehead of Mr. Cox.
Right.
Now, the centralization that the U.S. Treasury represents is not a centralization. It is a decentralization, which allows in the chip landscape to have offshore accounts and move them around the planet. That whole digital effect that we call derivatives is the kind of control that the U.S. Treasury represents. They want to keep the derivatives economy going. And so that's the chip technology, the chip landscape. All right. So it's a kind of centralization in allowing money to move without subject to local taxation. Okay. So you get these four kinds of power moves.
Would you say them all once again real quick?
I will. And I want to add how this relates to the personal.
Okay.
I say that today that you have to be a politician, you have to be a artist, you have to be a teacher, and you have to be a scientist. Okay, moving those four, working with those four aspects requires a juggling where you've got to be in shape to do it. So the real organizing icon is an athlete. So to be an athlete in this quadriphenic situation, you've got to learn to juggle the four realms that I'm just talking about. So the Illuminati is for science because they can create new technologies and they can know they're coming and they can study the effects and control that. So the Illuminati is the politician part of yourself, which works with science. Okay. The Federal Reserve is the priest part of yourself, represented by the Vatican, where you work through the media to create charismatic pop culture entertainers, movers and shakers. All right? That's real religion. The teacher part of yourself is representing the eternal values and celebrating first nature and what we were given by whatever created first nature. That's represented by Mr. Cox, Securities and Exchange Commission. The artist part of yourself is your ability to sculpt your own space, not subject to media celebrity in the mass media form of iconography that comes out of the Federal Reserve / Vatican priest part of yourself. So the fourth part is the chip landscape, and the cultural representative of the chip landscape is MySpace, your ability to create your own little iconography within your own space, and that's your creativity. And the representatives of that is the Chinese, because the Chinese own the treasury, they own the chip landscape, they've profited from it, and so juggling that is what we're talking about. So you got to juggle the Illuminati, that's your politician and scientist self. You got to juggle the Federal Reserve, and that's your Vatican and priest media function. And with that, the Securities and Exchange Commission. You have to juggle the teacher part of yourself, which is dealing with nature. And then the fourth part is to juggle the artist part of yourself and make your art in the digital landscape. And that turns you into not only Henry Paulson, but you're Chinese. That's the yoga, the new kind of yoga you've got to do to survive this. And the reason I talk about the Federal Reserve being you is that anybody can hijack the digital environment and be involved in making its wealth, because the wealth is not measurable in economic terms anymore. It's just measured by typing. As long as we keep typing and talking and communicating, we have an economy.
Because the actual scale of human communication and what the electronic environment, it's not quantifiable, and that's why we have, what, like trillions of dollars in derivatives to represent an environment that's not measurable. So if we just keep doing what this communication, the efficiency or what you get out of communication, that's what keeps it, that's the juice.
Yes, the derivatives economy is based on speculation, on futures, on gambling, on betting. You can bet that one stock will go up and then on the side make a bet that the same stock will go down.
Right.
Quadraphonic player on Wall Street. The thing is, it's built on thought. That's speculation. And when you're typing, you're thinking. And everybody's thinking with everybody else. And they're making speculations and profiles and patterns. And that's 24/7. And that is what the economy is based on. In other words, it's not based on derivatives or shadow banking or anything. It's based on the environment that the chip landscape automatically dictates. Once you have chip technology, this is the way the economy has to go. Now, we've come to an interesting point where we can see this. People, just by the explosion, what happened on so-called Wall Street, that is people waking up to the digital landscape that they subconsciously have been swimming in and hadn't anticipated these effects. So another part of the meaning of the phrase post-information society is that we're now staring at a post-economy, a post-chip economy, and that means everybody has nothing, and they better start talking to each other, but they don't talk verbally. They keep talking with their four bodies. So you could talk to your neighbor slightly, knowing that the neighbor is four bodies as you are. And the juggling of the four bodies is the only way we work through this chaos until cold fusion comes in.
And when is that going to come in?
I'd say within 3 to 5 years, but I don't want to be precise because there's a lot of maneuvering that has to go on to bring it in.
So in that time, are you saying that we are going to – how long – how deep is this – downturn going to be for America?
It's going to be forever. America's going to be the last to use cold fusion. They're just too invested and too successful based on the old oil structure. You know, that's the problem. When you are embedded and successful in one technology, you're not able to adapt to the new stuff. So the undeveloped parts of the world will get cold fusion first, as I've said on their show many times.
So we're going to be sitting here suppressed and playing around with the price of oil and our worthless dollars while everybody else is being able to have their standard of living go up because of free energy.
Right. They will counter. If they got all the computers eventually that we have and the lifestyle we have, they would have the same problem. But luckily, they're just going to go through it rapidly, and they're intertwined with the global situation. So the American environment is a world environment, but the geographical position of the United States is not a healthy place to be stuck in, because the rest of the world, part of the reason this collapse happened is that the SWIFT mechanism, do you know about the electronic transfer funds called SWIFT?
Yes.
Yeah, SWIFT. It's an acronym for big words. The point is that was cut off. The Bush administration had no more ability to disseminate globally their money manipulation into the rest of the world as of a year and a half, 2 years ago. And now that's why there's no money in the United States. The rest of the world said, heck with you, we're going to build a new world. And so that's organized around India, Russia, and China, and parts of Africa. And that's going ahead so that they've lopped off the United States. Mm-hmm. The degree that you think you're an American and have to stay here and defend this piece of real estate, then you'll be subject to a lot of harsh problems. I recommend you start moving around the planet.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Bob. Our time is absolutely evaporated, but of course you're just going to have to come back, Bob. And thank you. All right, this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM. Hey, Bob Dobbs is live. When I said he has to come back, well, he has. Now, we're going to get to him so quickly. We're just going to do this quick station ID, let you know that our guest for tonight's show is Bob Dobbs. His website, www.fivebody.com. And that was a clip from a previous show that we did to kind of bring up the speed where we are in understanding and the dialogue and the kind of Marshall McLuhan media analysis, meme type analysis that Bob has brought you guys for years now, and how it keeps giving with some good news, but also some very interesting, amazing news about the idea about getting global, about expatriation. Something that we've talked about a number of times on this show, darlings. All right. So we're just going to finish this station ID and get back with Bob. And you know what? About Zawahiri, a lot of you might sit there and say, yeah, Obama does look pretty high yellow, doesn't look like he's connected, et cetera, et cetera. And this is something that, you know what? Zawahiri might be right in what he's saying, but I really don't want to hear it from him, I think is the case. We're trying to understand what we have here, and we don't need a little hater like him coming in and giving us any kind of, let's say, looking down the nose or any kind of attitude. Just didn't want to hear it from him. So I think that's the case of this punk saying that to Obama for whatever reason he thinks he has. So anyways, I just wanted to say that again because I was just really, really annoyed. All right, darlings. KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
Yeah, it's such a weird position to be in, defending the kind of evil that you know or that you don't know. You know, I mean, what am I supposed to agree with that guy? All of them. I just want to, you know, kind of shovel off, send them to the moon, or, you know, send them to that structure out there. Let them figure it out together. All of them can go. All right. To get to Radio Alchemy, you can go to www.kpfk.org. Go to programs. Go to the Something's Happening program guide, and there is a website link there. We're going to get to Bob Dobbs. We're going to start taking your calls. We're going to be talking about the maze of this media environment and trying to understand where we really are at this time. So for all of you Dobbsians, all of you media mavericks, all of you McLuhan scholars, people out there, get on the phones and get ready to light it up tonight. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Coming back to Bob Dobbs now, the author of Fatic Communion, website www.fivebody.com, and that is completely spelled out, F-I-V-E-D, body, B-O-D-I-E-D.com. Number here, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And so, Bob, we just got done laying down some amazing groundwork that you had laid some months ago before Obama got elected. And I'm wondering at this time, the battle of the different the battle of the different bodies that we saw between McCain and between Obama, because it seems that they both came, they both are TV body centric. Did Obama bring in his mutt aspect and also exude other bodies in the way that he campaigned and the way he resonated in the Android meme or in the medium scale?
Yes, I'm glad you played that interview we did where I lay out the four bodies, but you notice my website's called Five-Bodied.
Yes.
So what is the fifth body? The fifth body is the mystery landscape, the fact that we're not sure where we came from, where we're going, and what we're made up of. Humanity's never had a clear lockdown on what it's made up of or what nature's made up of. So far, according to me, we've got four levels we know that this mystery landscape is made up of, but we don't know what else is included. And so you have the chemical body, which is the DNA, genetic information that science, Western science has imposed on the world. You have the astral body, which is the archive of religious, spiritual, and shamanistic knowledge. And then you have the TV body, which is the media archive of one-way analog media, coming at us since the first 60 years of the 20th century. And then the digital archive is what you create. So it's your archive once you have the technology since the middle 90s to do two-way and omnidirectional media. So you get these four archives with four bodies. Now, a year or so ago, I pointed out how Hillary represented one of the bodies and Obama was another body. McCain represented the future because he represented the Pentagon and new technologies coming out of the Pentagon. And who else? Ron Paul represented the chemical body. Anyways, without replaying all that, as the it came down to McCain-Palin versus Obama-Biden, it set up a different situation because the context was the collapse of this whole financial chip landscape. So when the chip landscape collapsed in September, October, which for our personal, from our personal perspective is a chip body, but the chip landscape was built in the 70s and 80s, and it led to the derivatives reality. When that collapsed, that meant that we've been through the four phases, the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, and the chip body. The TV landscape collapsed in the 90s, and that's when Survivor, reality TV, and did let amateurs on. Just come on in. We need anybody we can get to provide content, right? The old Finnegan's Wake theme of here comes everybody.
Right.
But with the collapse of the chip body, that meant that we'd moved into the mystery landscape as a subconscious environment. And definitely cold fusion, as it comes in, will be an expression of the mystery landscape because nobody's going to be able to figure out how the hell this works. How could more energy come out of something than goes in? I mean, Pons and Fleischmann created it in 89-90, and scientists still can't handle it. They still can't figure out, even though there's over 600 labs that have proven that there's something to Pons and Fleischmann's technology.
Right.
So, to me, cold fusion represents the mystery landscape. And that is where we're at now. George Bush represented the post-information society, which is what happens when you have a chip landscape, because nobody's listening to anybody else in a centralized manner. They're just playing, creating their own information and seeing how many friends they can get, right?
Right.
100,000 friends who you never meet, but statistical. So the White House always has an anti-environmental response to what's happening. So in a hyper-communicative environment, which was going in omni-directions, you had to have a president who didn't communicate, didn't engage in media. It's interesting, John McCain himself didn't use the Internet, so to the degree he was seen as a replica of Bush, he certainly was on that level, didn't even email. Okay, so with the post-information environment collapsing since November 2006 when the Democrats supposedly took over Congress and the Bush image was a lame duck for the last 2 years, that meant we were no longer in the post-information society. We were moving into a non-information or a immeasurable form of information, which I call the mystery landscape. So isn't it amazing that the candidate who shows up and becomes the Democratic contender is someone who, on a recent Charlie Rose show, an interview with Tom Brokaw, I've read this in other places, I don't have it right here, I don't want to waste time, but basically they go on for 20 minutes saying, I don't know who this Obama is. This is a couple of weeks before the election. I don't know what he reads. I don't know what his heroes are. And Charles Rose says, yeah, you're right, Tom. I don't know who he is either. Who is this guy? The whole mystery aspect of the Obama image, plus whether he really was born in the United States. We don't know where he's from, you know? Was he born in Kenya? Was he born in Hawaii? Indonesia? Like, what is it? And so none of it could be verified. So here's Charlie Rose and Tom Brokaw saying, I don't know who this guy is. Now, can you imagine someone running for president, and it's a week or so before the election, and people are in journalists who are supposed to study all this stuff and have their finger on the pulse, saying, I don't know who he is.
But that speaks to so many deep things right there. I mean, just the whole idea that there is a serious attempt to retrieve his birth certificate, and I guess he has by December 5th or 6th, like December 5th, to bring it to the Supreme Court or to file it. Is that correct?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. I think that's astounding, because they, of course, the Republicans would turn around and say, there you are running, you know, running a member, and there they go, the Democrats and Socialist Communists, you know, bringing in, this foreigner. But yet the Republican Party and all of the media didn't investigate this closely enough. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's also, it's not really whether we figure that out or not. It's the fact that he's a mystery entity, and it represents the mystery landscape that Cold Fusion's coming in. So we're getting a president who's prefiguring what's going to happen with Cold Fusion, at least over in China, Russia, and Africa. So now I want to bring in another aspect. If we're moving in a new environment, that means the previous bodies, the chemical, astral, TV, and chip body, they collapse into an art form. And to show what I mean by this, you mentioned McLuhan in your introduction to me. He said back in the 60s, he defined charisma as looking like a lot of other people it would be nice to know. But that was a simple time, the day of the global village. Charisma was limited to the human appearance or mask. But in the recent global theater phase, where there is an incredible new multimedia environment since the 70s, McLuhan would have to concede that charisma became, quote, looking like a lot of other media environments it would be nice to own. Okay? So the new charisma is a mixture of these different media masks, not just your chemical body or human appearance, which was the old form of charisma. Now, let's compare President Clinton. In retrospect, Clinton represented, I mean, it wasn't certain when he was president. But in retrospect of all that happened, when we look back at his career and the trajectory it took, we can see that he represented a collage of White House icons during the Cold War. He had the sexy aspect of JFK. He had the impeachable aspect of Nixon. He had the great communicator, a Slick Willie aspect of Ronald Reagan. And he was from the South like Jimmy Carter, all right? Mm-hmm. So he's a collage of many of the presidents. And the 90s was a retrospective decade. I was in New York in the 90s, and all the museums just kept replaying the whole history of art for the last 100 years.
Yes.
It was a retrospective kind of thing, because we were waiting for the millennium. We didn't know what it would mean.
Right.
And we were waiting for a Cold Fusion to happen. So we just sort of replayed a repertoire of media images since 1850. And so you had a president who represented at least a collage of the Cold War. Now, in the global... Well, the American global hologram, which was the content of the last 30 years, but really got vicious in this decade, with the global American environment, the global military-industrial complex, just going out everywhere, all over the world, and imprisoning and attacking and celebrating and all the things that a quadriphenic White House would do, you have a context that Senator Obama is going to be different. It's a more complex time than President Clinton's era.
Right.
So what is Obama? He's not a replay of White House icons over the last 40 years. He's a replay of presidential archetypes for the last 220 years.
Hmm. Yes.
Look at what he's made up of.
Mm-hmm.
He's now studying Lincoln, but he already had in his image Abraham Lincoln, because he freed the African Americans. He has the FDR in there because people are looking for a new deal. They're going, quote, more socialistic or left because they feel so paranoid and insecure about the economy, they want some government protection.
Right.
He's got the JFK charisma. He's a rock star for the young. He's got the Carter aspect because he was a dark horse. He came out of nowhere and took over, just like Carter did.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the Southern electoral dark horse aspect. You know, some people say Northerners, a Democratic candidate from the North, Tom Hennigan has said this, can't win. He said any candidate like Hillary Clinton from the North can't win because if you're a Democrat, you have to come from the South. Well, he had the Southern aspect because he was the dark horse part of Carter. Hmm. And also he's a great communicator like Reagan. So he's a combination of all these presidential archetypes of the last 220 years. Remember, George Washington, the first president, begins in 1789 and is now 220 years. There's that magic 22 resonance, which goes with the TV body. That's an occult reference that I use. That's something else to develop later. But on top of his replay of presidential archetypes, he was seen as an image with complex resonances with the people of color of the United States or of the African American, mm-hmm. even though he isn't technically an African American. Mm-hmm. But we don't know. He's a mystery body, right? Mm-hmm. Don't know what he's made up of. But since the blacks saw him as representing them, and we saw that in Grand Park the night of the election, you know, mm-hmm. Oprah Winfrey, Jesse Jackson, teary-eyed and mm-hmm. bonding, and all kinds of people, yeah. Asians and whites and blacks there, you know, just celebrating in the glow of Obama.
Right.
Within his racial aspect, he's a collage, too. He represents Frederick Douglass, the famous learned scholar of the 19th century, a revolutionary figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
His sort of, I would almost say naive, but his idealistic sermonizing and moral platitudes definitely has the religious aspect of a Dr. Martin Luther King, right?
Right.
Inspirational and moralistic sermons. He also has part of the image of American culture, which is largely created by African Americans, especially on the musical dance level. So he has the aspect of being Smokey Robinson, the famous singer for Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He also has an aspect of the movie Hollywood world. He's Sidney Poitier. All right?
You're like, guess who's coming to dinner?
Yes. And someone on my website posted a section from that movie where he predicts a black president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's 40 years ago or something.
Right, right.
And then we've got Douglass, Martin Luther King, Smokey Robinson, Sidney Poitier. But also, what is the other major media stated defined quality of the mystery man was that he had incredible coolness and poise.
True.
He was like the Russell Simmons or any hip-hop mogul, totally detached, always walking around in an alien hood.
Well, I've called him like the test tube candidate. I mean, he really is something that's been cooked up or something that has been brought together, and you're bringing all of those elements together that he walked with. I mean, you're right. All of those things resonate. What does it mean for now? Is this what he is, or is this the media effect?
Because we're into a mystery landscape, and you've got to collage and collapse all the four bodies before into one image, nobody could do that other than first an African-American, because you got to bring in the actual contents of American culture and its history and its racism and its class and its gender. I mean, there are people who, Tom Hennigan says that Obama is a closet homosexual and that there's footage of him and Reverend Wright, you know, having orgies back in 2000 or something, that they're going to hang over and blackmail Obama. He's even got that in there.
Yeah, I heard that he did crack with, somebody had called in with some information saying that he did crack with some guy and had sex with him, and then that guy ends up dead. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Sherman Skolnick aspect. Yeah, you've interviewed Sherman Skolnick, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Bob, we're coming up to the top of the hour. So let me just make this transition and remind folks where we are, and we will pick it up from there in trying to decipher who our new president is within the media landscape and what just happened to us, because we are absolutely elated. We called it a mirage, and there's something about it which comes into view and then dissipates, which gets us elated and then kind of bummed out at the same time, because kind of the same-o. And that is what we are hearing from Bob. Bob Dobbs is with us tonight. It's always so fantastic, you guys. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, coming up to the top of the hour. And so join the conversation. We're going to go... We're only going to go till 3:30 tonight, and so we just need for folks to be there so that we can get your questions in, because as you know, time flies so fast. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.